Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Greenlight Real Estate Podcast, the go-getter's guide to real estate investing and financial freedom. I'm your host, Naeem Smith, and I'm ecstatic because I just have a solo episode that I'll be sharing with you all. And also, it's a really big milestone for the podcast because there's a statistic that says if you publish 21 episodes, you are in the top 1% of the podcast. So I appreciate you guys staying with me along this journey. It's been a lot of fun, and I just can't wait to keep giving you guys more and more content going forward. Also, make sure you guys share and rate the podcast and be honest in the ratings and let me know what you think I can improve on or if you want to hear anything specifically. This reason for that is just I just want to be able to grow the podcast and community and make sure I'm tailoring the content that you guys want to hear. Before we get started, here are three things that I want you guys to listen for in today's show. The importance of doing your own research. I'm going to talk about my own personal investments and what I've learned thus far. So now let's transition to the show. The first topic I'm going to talk about is the importance of doing your own research. And I want to make this disclaimer right now and let you guys know this is a purely educational podcast and that you should consult a team such as like lawyers, CPAs, and different advisors. And the main reason I'm saying this is because I just don't want to get sued. And this leads into my point that I'm broke, but not poor. And there's a really important distinction because broke is temporary and poor is a mentality. So anyway, I just can't stress this enough going into it, the importance of doing your own research, because there's a lot of people out there that will feed you BS. And this, you can, you know, you'll hear it from friends, family, online when you're doing research. So I just want to stress that enough because I've seen people, you know, for example, jumping into like some meme cryptos and people end up losing thousands and thousands of dollars. And it's just something that you don't want to get yourself into. The most critical investment is your own brain, because this is what you're going to feed yourself by going out and doing research, finding out what you're actually really interested in and what you feel like you can be successful in. So it's really important for people to realize that your brain is actually the most important investment, because that's what you do with reading books. You go out and network with people, and then you try to learn from their experiences, try to find mentors, different things like that. So first and foremost, before you just jump in on your first investment, you need to make sure you do your own research on investing. So you might be asking the question right now, how are you finding your research? And that's a great question to start off. And I feel like it's easier almost to start off with where you shouldn't find your news source from. And for example, I think the news can be a very bad place to start to try to find some information. I feel like it's kind of toxic. And a lot of times, I'm not political, but there'll be like a lot of political things that'll go on. So I just try to stay away from the news as much as possible. I think that you should try to find somebody that's actually in that specific area and doing the work, because the people that you want to learn from are the people actually in it. So that's why I try to bring on qualified real estate investors and people that actually have these roles to come on to the podcast, because we're all able to learn from somebody that's literally doing the job, and you can't learn from anybody better. And that's sometimes what I have an issue with the school system in general, is that we have teachers that are actually really good people, but they might not necessarily know or be the true expert in that area. So that's sometimes my problem with the school system, is that we have, like, I would say, quote unquote, unqualified teachers actually trying to teach you. And I mean, that's a whole different topic for another time, that the school system doesn't really teach us like true financial literacy. Anyway, the next question I'll answer is, how can you avoid bad investments? This is where I strongly urge, especially if you're getting into real estate, you try to partner in a deal, just because I think that'll allow you to potentially have somebody that's a little more experienced, and you're able to go and walk through the process with them. And maybe you don't get as much of the deal or percentage of it at first. But really, the first one is meant for you to learn and to be able to grow and just understand all the steps, because there's a lot that goes into the whole process that people don't even realize until they go through it. So definitely try to seek an advisor that is already in the industry or whatever type of investing you want to get into, and try to potentially bring a deal to them that you have ran the numbers on and you feel confident at, so you can bring something to the table and it looks like you're a really serious investor, and this will allow you to be able to create this partnership. So that's just one of the many ways that you can potentially avoid a bad investment. I think another one is just making sure that you don't just jump into something right away. You need to make sure that your experience, and I kind of spoke about this earlier. So those are two things. Just don't jump in right away and make sure that you could try to partner, especially in real estate, with somebody. All right, so next I'm going to talk about, is failure a bad thing? And I do not think that failure is a bad thing. I think it's an opportunity for you to be able to grow and learn. And you're not, the only way that a failure is a bad thing is if you make that same mistake again. Failure is not a bad thing. And in our school system, a lot of times it's viewed as something that's bad. But you're going to fail, especially in investing, and you're going to have to be able to bounce back, get up off your feet, and keep going, because not everything is going to be rainbows and butterflies. So I think that wraps up the first section of the importance of doing your own research. So now I'm going to transition and talk a little bit about my own personal investments, or what I'm specifically interested in. And just want to disclaim this again that, you know, you're your own individual out there and you're able to make your own decisions. So make sure that you do your own research, reach out to other people. But I'm just going to talk about kind of like what I'm currently interested in, what I might have and hold right now. How much money should you put into an investment? And I would say this depends, because it's important to understand how much your monthly expenses are, what stage of your life you're in. Are you a first-time investor? Are you an experienced investor? How much you make? Like, do you have a lot of debt, etc.? Like, there's a whole bunch of variables. So with investing, especially for somebody that's new, I would suggest to put in less, just because your first few investments are the learning curve. You're just trying to soak up as much information as possible. So definitely once you're inexperienced and you're trying to learn, start out with less money with investing, and as you're progressing and you're feeling more confident, you're running the numbers and your gut and intuition is telling you that yes, this is a good investment and I feel comfortable with it, then that's when you start trying to, you know, put more into deals, and you're gonna obviously see more return on those type of deals. So now I'm gonna transition to talk about what I am interested in or investing in specifically. And before I go into depth, I am a really big fan of hard assets. Like, I like things that you can touch, see, like, etc. And that's kind of my go-to, and I feel the most comfortable with right now. Real estate will be my primary investment vehicle. I do not currently own any properties, but I think that it's important to have real estate because you're able to make money off of five ways, and that's cash flow, the equity in your home, the depreciation, the appreciation of the home value going up, and the tax advantages that happen. So there's five ways that you make money off of real estate, and I think that's really, really important for somebody that's trying to reach independence in their life and not have to rely on necessarily like the government to fund their retirement. I think that real estate is a great avenue. Now, it's more competitive than ever. You can tell out there the market is definitely harder and harder to find deals, but if you're savvy enough, you can definitely find them. So real estate will be my primary investment vehicle, and I plan to start this year by a house hacking. I would like to get a unit, probably around 10 units for my first rental property. And that's just because I'm really interested in multifamily and I'm hoping to partner with some people. So really just looking forward to that step in particular. But I think that real estate is a great avenue because there's so many different opportunities. You can own residential houses, you can own multifamily houses, you can own commercial space, you could be a real estate agent, you can, like, there's so many opportunities with real estate, and you don't necessarily just have to be in the investor frame. Like, we've had people on that have been attorneys, we've had people on that are agents. So it's just really cool because there's a lot of different people that will aid you in your real estate journey. So I think that important lesson that I learned with real estate is that Robert Kiyosaki instilled in me that your own personal property or home is not an asset, but rather a liability. And I agree with him 100% just because ultimately your own home is not putting money in your own pocket each month because you're actually paying for that mortgage. But the way around it is house hacking. And if you can find the right deal, you could live for cheap, you could break even, or cash flow. And I've said this before, but your mortgage is your number one expense. And if you can eliminate that, you're obviously going to be able to accumulate a little more money each month, and you're able to pour that back into more assets. So my first plan is to buy my first house hack within the year. And I think that'll just allow me to save a lot of money off a mortgage and then be able to, whatever that mortgage costs, is be able to actually put that money to the side and then save and put into other assets. And how I envision myself is my plan is to buy at least one property for the next 5 years, and all of them being house hacks. On the side, I would also like to partner and buy more properties with other people. So now I'm gonna transition to talking about precious metals. And like I said, real estate would probably be my primary investment vehicle that will help me lead to financial independence and, you know, just a consistent income that will come in. So I'm really excited to talk about precious metals because I've been doing a lot of research over it, and I feel like a good amount should be around like 10 to 20% of your investment portfolio. And I'm specifically talking about gold, silver, platinum. I think those are good ways to start out. And to talk about my own personal investment, I'm really a big fan of silver right now because it's roughly around $25 an ounce. And I'm a broke college student, and it's obviously more feasible for me to purchase silver. Gold, I think, is a little under $2,000 an ounce, and platinum is around $1,000 an ounce. So it's really a lot easier for me just to go and purchase some silver just because it's a lot cheaper. You can just go to your local gold and like silver shop, and that's how I've started to just get the silver, and I like physically own them. So the larger amount that you buy, like say you were to buy 10 ounces of silver, you're going to have a smaller premium that you pay per ounce compared to if you just bought like 1 ounce of silver. There's going to be like a higher premium. So for example, the coin that you're going to get, like 1 ounce of silver, could be $25 an ounce, but there will be a premium charge on top of that for probably around like $5 or $6. So ultimately you'd be paying like $31, $32 just for that little coin. And the reason for that is, from my understanding, is that for the manufacturers, the people that actually put these coins and these different bars together, it basically costs them the same to like put all these, you know, these little coins together. So really it's like taking them more time to do that, so they're gonna charge you a little bit more for that. And I have some friends that are buying those and just kind of stacking those little by little, and I'm currently buying in 10 ounce sizes, and the premium for that is a little less. So it'd probably be like, compared to the 1 ounce, it would be like $5, and for a 10 ounce it'd be like $3.50 for the premium. So some pros of the like gold, silver, platinum. I'm just a fan of hard assets, and I'm not like the biggest fan of stocks just because like you physically have them. And for me personally, I just have someone I use to invest in stocks for me because it just doesn't really fire me up. I don't know too much about it. And like, I'm obviously trying to learn right now, but I feel more comfortable having somebody else invest for me. silver also has higher returns in bull markets compared to gold. So like when a bull market comes, you know, it's going to traditionally outperform gold over time, but that's same in reverse too. So it's really volatile. So you do have to be careful. So like, let's say it's starting to be a bear market and it's, the price is dropping, then silver will drop lower typically than silver. So the all-time high too for silver was in April 2011, around $50. So I feel like there's a good opportunity because the price range is about $25 right now. And I think the biggest thing of these precious metals is that it's an insurance policy. You may have heard like gold and silver is called God's money. We've used it literally since the beginning of time. People used to buy and stuff like that. And it's always been around. So I don't see any reason why necessarily gold and silver would just, you know, not be used. And I just think that especially when times of like war and the depreciating dollar, it's always good to have silver just and gold just because it's able to hedge against inflation somewhat and be able to, you know, put your money in places so your dollar might not be depreciating at such a great rate. And so some of the cons is that silver is more volatile compared to gold in a bear market, like I said. And for silver specifically, you can accumulate a lot just because it's like cheaper and you need more storage than gold. For example, because if an ounce of gold is around $2,000 right now, you're not going to need a lot of storage space, but you can need a lot like if you're starting to accumulate a lot more silver. So definitely things that you have to take into consideration. So the biggest thing with gold and silver is I see it as a store of value. It's a somewhere where you can preserve your wealth. And some people say that gold and silver isn't liquid, but I kind of am like on the fence about that because really you could go and just sell it and, you know, turn it in for money when need be. But I think this is just like a long-term safety net asset that you just hold and store your money in. So yeah, that kind of just wraps up specifically why I want to talk about precious metals. So now I'm going to talk about something of a side hustle that I started, and we're still in the works of it. We don't have our first machine yet, but me and some of my buddies, we started an LLC and we're going to be getting into vending machines. This is something that I've kind of been doing some research for some time now, and like I think that it's really a good opportunity for us to be able to like learn a business and be able to grow from it. We're obviously, we don't have a lot of money right now, and I think that's a good thing because it's going to allow us to have to be creative to be able to finance some of these vending machines and to be able to learn and grow from it. So just talking about the vending machine specifically, you can generally get a used and pretty good one for about like $1,000 to $1,500. And really, you just try to place them in high traffic areas where, you know, like a lot of people be walking through, and you try to tailor your goods that you have in it to that specific market. So, for example, if you're trying to target like a health club or something, you're going to try to put healthier snacks, some shakes in there. And I think it's just a good opportunity for us to have an LLC, have to show all the document paperwork, make sure we're keeping our corporate veil, which is saying that we're a true entity and it's not like a sole proprietorship. So we have to keep our business separate from our own expenses. So that's why we're opening up a bank account right now for our LLC. So all that will stay away from ourselves, and they won't try to make us like specifically liable for a lot of things. So anyway, I just think this is something that I'm really looking forward to getting into. I'll definitely talk about it more on the podcast when we have some more locations and we're, you know, just learning about the business and growing. So this is something that, yeah, I'm definitely interested in. So now I'm going to transition to talk about the importance of creating a 6-month security blanket for yourself, especially when you're starting to invest, because there will be a rainy day where you need to be able to fall back and depend on something to get you out of the gutter. Because for example, your first deal, second deal might not be that great, and you need to be able to pull yourself out of that rug. And by having that 6 month emergency fund, that'll allow you to be able to stop the storm that's about to, you know, unleash. So definitely important. And by doing a 6 month security emergency fund, whatever you want to call it, it's pretty easy to total up all your expenses. So for example, like my bank, it keeps track of my monthly expenses. So it makes it really easy actually just to be able to go back on the app and then check out, okay, so this is what I had, like $1,000 for this month. And then I'm able to track, okay, I spent a little more, $1,300 this month. So you can get a very general understanding of your spending habits. And obviously this can change because right now I'm a college student, but hopefully within the next few months, I'm on an NFL roster. So obviously expenses will change just because I might be moving to a different location, or, you know, you're getting a promotion in a job. But the biggest thing is that you want to be able to control your spending habits and control your expenses. Because something that I read in the Psychology Money that I thought was great was, they gave an example. If somebody made $60,000 in a year but had $40,000 of expenses, they had $20,000 left over. Now, what you want to do is you want to live off of $40,000 each year. Like, that should be the goal. And then even when you're getting promotions to $100,000, you know, or like $80,000 to $100,000 to $120,000, you want to keep your expenses at $40,000, because this is what will help you make you wealthy. Because a lot of people struggle with lifestyle creep, and this is something that even Robert Kiyosaki talks about, just kind of indirectly. The biggest thing with lifestyle creep is, you know, you're making $40,000 a year, but you're spending $20,000, and then all of a sudden you got a raise, and now you're making $50,000 a year, and now you're spending $40,000 a year. So you got to make sure you're tracking your expenses constantly. Obviously, you want to live life, and I think the number one thing that will help you is by house hacking, because once again, that is your greatest expense, which is the mortgage. So if you can delete that or mitigate it as much as possible, that will give you a little bit more flexibility from your day-to-day spending. And obviously some people have like a flashier taste in clothing and different things like that, but you gotta realize, like, what do you ultimately want for your own life? Do you want more freedom? And you can get to freedom faster if you're being more in control of your spending habits and more inept in like what you're trying to do and what your goal is. So everybody's different, so you gotta make sure you look inside yourself, but you know what you want. And now I'm gonna transition and talk about like what I've learned with investing from financial literacy, different things like that. You have to take financial literacy upon yourself. You're your own greatest asset, and you have to be a go-getter. It's definitely scary at first, but the biggest thing that is scary to me is regret and fear. Because if I just sit back on the sidelines and I'm seeing other people do it while I'm not, like, you're gonna look back on your life and be like, man, I wish I did that, you know? So I think the number one thing that holds people back is definitely fear, because you're never gonna know enough to actually dive in and go get your first investment property. But you have to definitely get a baseline understanding, and then you go in it head first. And once you make the decision you're going, you got to go with intent that you're like, okay, I'm doing this. So definitely your greatest asset is yourself. That's your mind. And you have to read books. You have to reach out to people who are doing what you want to do. You have to gain some knowledge. Another thing that I want to add is that people need to let your ego go. Your ego holds you back because you think you might know it all, or you're like, you're the best at it. But you need to make sure you have some humility and you're humble, and that you realize that you can never know enough, because we're all learning constantly. And the moment that you want to stop learning, you're really lying to yourself, because even the wealthiest people out here that know, you know, a lot more than most of us do, like, They are constantly learning. They're reading books. So make sure you're working on yourself first. And that's another big thing that I've seen is that if you want to improve the people around you, you have to improve yourself first. And that's something that's very important for people to realize. Like, you have to focus on yourself, make yourself a better person, and that will help you make other people better that are around you. So make sure you guys are working on yourself. And I'm just really glad that I got to speak about this today and appreciate you guys tuning in. I do have one engaging topic of the day, and it's something that I'll break down in a later episode, and it's to read the book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, because I think I said their names right. I might not have, but they wrote an incredible book just on leadership and like being the best person that you can be. And I just think that if you guys check that book out, you'll definitely love it. So I'll make sure to put it in the show notes. And anyway, that wraps up the show for today. I appreciate you guys listening in. Make sure to reach out on Instagram and Twitter at green_lightRE. And my Twitter is NaeemSmith_. I look forward to hearing your guys' feedback and comments on the episode. And until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Greenlight Real Estate Podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to share this podcast with a friend or leave us a rating and review. This helps to make our podcast better. For now, we'll see you next time on the Greenlight Real Estate Podcast, the go-getter's guide to real estate investing and financial freedom.